Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has discussed the policy statement of his new government with opposition MPs. President Václav Klaus is going to discuss Czech foreign policy with top government officials. And a new poll suggests that most Czechs would like President Václav Klaus to be head of state for a second term. Prime Minister and Civic Democrat Chairman Mirek Topolánek has met several Social Democrat MPs to discuss the policy statement of his new coalition government, that is to ask for a confidence vote this Friday. Civic Democrat MP Petr Tluchoř, who also took part in the talks on Monday, would not disclose the number or names of the Social Democrat deputies present at the meeting. The centre-right coalition of the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens has only 100 votes in the 200-seat lower house of parliament. Without the backing or tolerance from the opposition ranks, it does not have a chance to win confidence from the chamber. Czech President Václav Klaus has called a meeting that should discuss the country's foreign policy. He has invited Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg and Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs Alexander Vondra to Prague Castle for Tuesday. A spokesman said the meeting will discuss the priorities and coordination of Czech foreign policy. A new poll by the SCNC agency suggests that two-thirds of Czechs wish that President Václav Klaus be re-elected for a second term as head of state. According to the poll, President Klaus, who's 65, enjoys the strongest support among voters of the current centre-right government coalition of the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens. Women, people with university education and younger people prevail among his supporters. The Czech president is elected by both houses of parliament. The next election is to be held in early 2008. Trade and Industry Minister Martin Riemann says that by 2010, more than 8% of the energy consumed in the Czech Republic could be produced from renewable sources. Mr. Riemann said the country would therefore meet EU requirements. The share of the so-called green energy on the Czech market was 4.5% in 2006. Cross-country skier and Olympic gold medal winner Kateřina Neumannová was named Sportsperson of the Year on Sunday evening at a special award ceremony in Prague. Ms. Neumannová was top choice by Czech journalists in the prestigious poll, earning more than 1,800 points. Ice hockey star Jaromír Jágr came second in the poll, more than 400 points behind, while cross-country skier and Olympic silver medalist Lukáš Bauer was third. And finally, a glance at the weather. The next few days should be partly cloudy, with daytime temperatures between 5 and 7 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Today, the estranged wife of the Prime Minister claims the government office has said she should no longer take part in official activities. We'll have details. We look at President Václav Klaus's continuing unrivaled popularity and exciting results from the weekend in sport, including a triumph in Italy for a Czech speed skater. All that and more ahead, so don't go away. This is make or break week for Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, who says he will step down as Civic Democrat chairman if his coalition fails a vote of confidence on Friday. But it is the Prime Minister's wife, Pavla Topolánková, who has been dominating the headlines in recent days. Though her husband is expecting a child with another woman, she pledged to stand by her man in public. But now, she's been ordered to stay away from official events. Ian Willoughby reports.
Even after it became public knowledge that Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek was romantically involved with party colleague Lucia Talmanová, his wife continued to appear with him in public. The last official event they attended together was a New Year's Day lunch with President Klaus and his wife. Since then, it has emerged that Mr. Topolánek is living with Ms. Talmanová, who is pregnant. He publicly announced he had left his family and asked that their privacy be respected. When the affair first came to light, Pavla Topolánková took the unusual step of standing against his Civic Democrats as a candidate for a tiny party, Politika 21, Politics 21. It held a news conference on Friday, at which leader Yana Babushikova launched a scathing attack on the Prime Minister, calling him an unprincipled traitor who should resign immediately. Pavla Topolankova made a conciliatory statement at the same event, saying she didn't want a divorce and that she could forgive infidelity. But she also said she hoped her husband would lose next Friday's confidence vote. Given his promise to step down if it fails, such an outcome could spell the end of his political career. That seems to have been a step too far for her husband's advisers. The office of the government has, she said on TV on Sunday, barred her from taking part in any official events or overseas trips with her husband. Pavla Topolankova says she herself will decide where she appears in public, but she also seems resigned to her fate, saying she hoped to continue visiting children's hospitals and old folks' homes as the Prime Minister's wife. And she said the door remains open if her husband chooses to come home.
Turning now to this story, 7 months after the country's general elections, the Czech Republic is still without a stable government. The lower house is paralyzed by the even division of power between left and right parties, and the Speaker of the lower house is about to resign from office. At the present time, it seems that the one institution which remains a beacon of stability is the office of the president. After 4 years in office, President Václav Klaus has a 67% popularity rating, and the majority of Czechs would like to see him re-elected in next year's presidential elections. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
One of the key figures in the 7-month-long search for a new government is President Václav Klaus. Yet its failure to materialize has cost him none of his popularity. Opinion surveys consistently show him as the most trustworthy political figure in the Czech Republic. And the latest one out suggests that 67% of Czechs would like to see him re-elected in next year's presidential elections. The fact that Václav Klaus is the founder of the right-wing Civic Democratic Party and insists that he will always be a conservative at heart has, surprisingly enough, not harmed him. 54% of left-wing voters say they want him for president. So what's at the heart of Mr. Klaus's popularity with the public? Political analyst Jiří Pehe.
Václav Klaus is a president who appeals to many people because he is someone who represents the country quite well. He is seen as someone who commands foreign languages, is a good representative of the country. And I think that people put his ability to represent the country very high on the ladder of things.
He is also the founder of the Civic Democratic Party. Has he managed to distance himself from that?
I think that Václav Klaus has been ambivalent about his distance or distancing from the Civic Democratic Party. On the one hand, he is really emphasizing that he cannot separate himself from the party and that he is a politician with conservative thinking or leaning. On the other hand, in the last few months or weeks, he has shown that when it comes to negotiations about the government and some tactical moves, he can be tough even on his own party, and that may be something that paradoxically actually helped him in public opinion, because he has shown that he is really not just an ODS politician, but the president who stands above political parties.
The high rate of public support would be great news for Mr. Klaus, were it not for the fact that the public will not be electing the next president. Under the Czech constitution, the president is elected by parliament, and his re-election could thus become a highly politicized issue. There are those who claim that in the search for a new government, Mr. Klaus is trying to secure a coalition which would agree to get him re-elected. They see this as the only plausible explanation for why the right-wing Mr. Klaus would be happy to accept a grand coalition. Mr. Klaus himself has strongly rejected that idea, insisting that he only wants a stable government, which a coalition with the smaller parties is not able to ensure. Although the present centre-right coalition originally said it would try to push through direct presidential elections, it has since watered down that statement. It seems fairly certain now that the next head of state will be elected by Parliament, and if there is anything playing in Václav Klaus's favour, it is the fact that there is no rival on the horizon. Even those respondents who claimed they did not want him re-elected were not able to say who should succeed him as head of state.
With a large English-speaking community, it's perhaps surprising that Prague does not have an English-language theatre scene, like those that can be found in other major European capitals like Paris and Berlin. Now, a new playwriting competition sponsored by the Prague Post could help to improve the situation. Offering a first prize of 20,000 crowns and productions for the three best scripts, it is hoped that this drama contest could boost interest in English-language theatre in the Czech capital. Colleen O'Connor has more.
The Prague Post Playwriting Contest has been launched this year with a view to fostering interest in English-language theatre productions in the Czech capital. It was hoped that the main prize of 20,000 Czech crowns for the winner would help encourage writers from the city's substantial English-speaking community to submit their work for consideration. Now that the closing date for entries has come and gone, the competition organisers say that interest in the event has surpassed all expectations. Publicist and theatre enthusiast Richard Herstek is one of the people behind this year's competition.
It's been a tremendous response. We didn't know just how many English language playwrights there were out there, but I think we ended up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 scripts, and most of them really quite good. Our hope was that the responses would be primarily from the Czech Republic, and in fact, I think all but one was from the Czech Republic.
The prize money for the contest is, of course, being provided by the competition sponsor, the Prague Post, which is the Czech Republic's main English-language newspaper. General Manager Dagmar Pikartova is hopeful that following the success of this year's inaugural competition, the playwriting contest can become a permanent fixture on Prague's cultural calendar.
We definitely hope this to evolve into an annual competition. In fact, we realized when we came up with that idea that there were numerous attempts to set up things like that in the past, and nothing survived till these days. And we thought that the Prague Post, with its, you know, 11-year history in this country, was an institution that could guarantee something like that for a number of years to come.
A panel of judges, including former head of United Artists Norbert Auerbach and translator and script editor Barbara Bray, shall decide on the three best scripts. These will then be produced at Prague's Minor Theatre in March before the final winner is announced. Open casting auditions will be held for these plays on February the 5th. People who are interested in helping out with backstage work are also welcome to volunteer their services. Although only three plays can be picked from those entered, such was the standard of this year's competition, Richard Herstek thinks that other entries can be produced sometime in the future outside of the competition framework.
We got a lot of material that, God willing, we would love to be able to produce over the course of the year. Maybe not all of them at major venues, but there are lots of places in the basements of bars and bookstores and other places that might serve as a home for a lot of these different plays.
Anyone interested in finding out more about the Prague Post Playwriting Contest can check out the paper's website at www.praguepost.com. That's www.praguepost.com.
In case you've just joined us, let me tell you that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for all the latest in sport. Colleen O'Connor stays with us in the studio for that.
Thanks, Jan. Skier Kateřina Nejmanová has been named Czech Sportswoman of the Year. Nejmanová, who won the women's 30-kilometer cross-country race at the 2006 Turin Winter Olympics, was selected for the award on Sunday in a poll of sports journalists. It's the first time a woman has won the award in 22 years. Ice hockey star Jaromír Jágr, who won the prize in 2005, was second, while Lukáš Bauer, who took silver in the 15-kilometer cross-country race in Turin, was third. Meanwhile, Czech tennis star Martina Navratilova was also at the same event on Sunday to pick up an award as a Czech sporting legend. Navratilova, who defected from communist Czechoslovakia in 1975 and has been an American citizen since 1981, said that she had picked up a few awards in her life, but that this was the first time ever she could give her thank you speech in Czech. Czech speed skater Martina Sablíková certainly had a weekend to remember at the European Championships in Colalbo, Italy. Not only did she win 3 gold medals, she also set 3 new world records and had the best aggregate results to become the youngest European all-round champion in history. The 20-year-old skater triumphed in the 3,000 and 5,000 metre disciplines. Her time in the final 5,000 metre event was just enough to pip Dutch skater Irene Wüst by 23 thousandths of a second to become the overall winner in the 4-event competition. Speaking shortly after winning the title, Sablíková was gracious in victory.
Samozřejmě s ní soucítím, protože brečela, bylo to, když to připočítám na 500 metrů, to je ta nejkratší.
Naturally, I feel sorry for her. If she'd gone a couple of seconds faster, it would have been her that won it. There was hardly anything between us, but fortunately, luck was on my side.
Takže to byl strašný kousíček a říkám, stálo při mě štěstí.
Football now, and Czech international Jiří Jarošík scored a late winner for Scottish League leaders Celtic in a hard-fought 2-1 victory over rivals Hearts in Edinburgh. Jarosík's superb low drive helped ensure that the Glasgow club remained 17 points clear at the top of the table. Giant Czech striker Jan Koller also scored for French side Monaco in their 1-0 win over St Etienne. Staying with football, and Chelsea's Czech goalkeeper, Petr Cech, says he is ready to return to action soon after making a remarkable recovery from fracturing his skull in a horrific collision in October. Cech, who was initially expected to be out for the rest of the season, could be back in action as early as next Saturday for Chelsea's game against Liverpool, although he may still be required to wear protective headgear as a precaution. Finally, fans of Bohemians FC had something to cheer about when their team won a five-a-side tournament at the weekend. The second division club overcame top-flight opponents such as Sparta and Slavia to win the indoor competition. The Kangaroos, as Bohemians are affectionately known, almost went out of business in 2005, before a fans action group managed to save the club. And that's all the sport we have for you today.
And we've come up to our main feature for this day, which is our interview program, One on One, hosted by Ian Willoughby. His guest this week, it turns out, has a long history with this station.
Born in the Sudetenland, Dora Slaba spent World War II in England, returning with far better English than her Czech schoolteachers. She later put her language skills to use here at Radio Prague, where she worked for a decade and a half until the cataclysm that was the 1968 Soviet invasion. Dora Slaba told me all about that and much more when she visited our studios.
I was born in Czechoslovakia, in North Bohemia, in a town called Teplice, where German was spoken more than Czech, so that I grew up in a German environment until I was 6 years old. That was just at the time when the Germans invaded the Sudetenland, and we moved to Prague, knowing full well that the time would soon come for us to emigrate even further. And I was very fortunate in that my father happened to be in England in 1938 on a business trip, and he organized so that the whole family emigrated to Great Britain just before the war.
And how long did you spend in England?
A long 10 years, and unfortunately then I came back. I didn't really want to come back, but my mother insisted that I should. I have to say that I was really unhappy that my mother exerted immense pressure on me. I wasn't in the least interested in politics. I don't think in those days I ever read a newspaper. I didn't realise what I was in for. And I had all my friends in England here. I didn't know anybody. What's more, I didn't know any Czech. So that my first problem was to get used to life here, which was pretty primitive, still after the war years. Well, it wasn't all that grand in England either, but it was even worse here. And what's more, there was this communist regime, which I just couldn't get to terms with.
About the language aspect, how long did it take you to learn proper Czech?
I learned for about 1 year very intensively. I had private lessons and I listened to the radio, and ultimately I made it enough to be able to study.
And after your graduation, what did you do?
Then I came to the radio.
Straight here?
Yes, the entire study period was 5 years, but after the third year, I had a holiday job here. That was part of the curriculum, that we should do some kind of practical job, and I have to say that I was fairly successful. I enjoyed the work, and I liked the people working here at the time, and they hired me immediately so that I had a part-time job here while I finished my studies.
And in those days, Radio Prague, I believe, had different English language sections, American and British, and you were working for the British.
Yes, definitely the British, and there was the moving spirit of the English section was a lady called Ruth Shepherd, and she was, in those days, she was very much against the Americans, and you couldn't have an American voice on an English service. That was just not acceptable.
Tell us, what kind of broadcasting were you doing? What kind of programs did you work on at here at Radio Prague?
Well, I avoided politics as much as I could, so I did a weekly youth program. Then there was a program which was called Here and There in Czechoslovakia, and then I did concerts, music programs of serious music, Czechoslovak folk music, and that I enjoyed extremely. I also announced on Medium Wave, they had a night concert every night, and also live. I used to announce the Prague Spring International Music Festival.
In those days, were most radio broadcasts based on scripts rather than, say, interviews or live sound, as you might get today?
Oh, there was no live sound at all. No live sound, whatever. It all had to be strictly censored. Although, again, that was a bit of a farce, because the censors didn't know any English. Of course, in those days, we used typewriters, we didn't have computers. We used to make lots and lots of copies of everything, 4 copies, I think. And one always went to these censors, who just sat and used a rubber stamp and stamped every piece of every page of the paper, not ever reading any of it.
In all, how many years did you work here for the radio?
Until 1968.
So in total, that's, what, 15 more?
Yes, about 15 years in all, yes. But in 1968, for obvious reasons, I left immediately.
You left, I guess, perhaps before you were kicked out?
I left before I was kicked out. Right.
And was that a big wrench for you after working here so long?
It was, because it was the one and only job I'd ever done, and I didn't quite know what to do with myself. Anyhow, I went back to England in 1968, but I found that you couldn't step into the river for a second time. Of course, I couldn't work in the radio. What was I to do there? Here I was a one-eyed king with my English. In England, everybody speaks English after fashion. And so I ended up as a teacher in a secondary school, teaching English and a little French. After school year there, I decided to come back. Also because the people who stayed here in the radio, they wrote me letters and said, the job is still open for you. So I came back, and I came back to the radio, I think only for 1 week, and then I said no, I couldn't.
Because it was so strictly controlled?
It was so strictly controlled that I just couldn't face it, and I decided I wasn't going to do that sort of a job, and to do communist propaganda.
But in what sense was it more controlled than in the previous period, when you also had to get everything rubber-stamped?
The rubber stamps were a farce in those days. Nobody took it too seriously, especially not in the 60s.
So after your week back at Radio Prague in the normalisation period, when you quit, what did you do after that?
I got a job at the Academy of Sciences, which was quite a cushy job. There were many people who just couldn't get on with the regime who went into research.
And come 1989, 1990, I know you went back to radio, but to Radio Free Europe?
Yes, yes. I got very many interests. First, I started with the Prague Post when they started on day one. And I worked with them as their chief researcher because they had a bunch of American, more or less, students, most of them, who hadn't a clue what the country was all about. It wasn't a really question of research, but I used to read the newspapers to them and organize contacts and interviews.
And then you went from there to Radio Free Europe?
That's right, yes. From the Prague Post, then I went to Radio Free Europe, and I worked there for first at OMRI, which was a kind of a research institute, but part of Radio Free Europe. Then I worked for Radio Free Europe in their news department.
Nowadays you're retired, and how are you spending your retirement?
Again, doing some translations and travelling, something that is also quite new to me. I mean, for years, I didn't even have a passport for 10 years. And if I did want to travel, then I guess you know the problems that we had. For instance, that my father stayed in England after the war, and I wasn't allowed to visit him for 10 years. And it was always a big struggle to get permission to go. So that now I'm enjoying travelling. Every time I have this uncanny feeling, oh, is this true? You know, can I just pass through customs? And can I just pass through passport control without any bother?
You've been listening to One-on-One, our guest, former Radio Prague reporter Dora Slaba, recalling her years at the station up until the tumultuous events of 1968. We're almost out of time, but just a quick reminder, if you enjoyed today's program or simply have any questions about the show, don't forget to write to us here at Radio Prague. Our address is english@radio.cz. You can also send us a regular letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. I'm Jan Wellinger. Thanks for listening and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.